it is always possible to do the will of God.
Elizabeth Elliot says, "It takes a steadfast heart to allow the Lord to let His will be done in us. But I want that kind of heart. I want His will with all my heart." Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Music of His Promises, Listening to God with Love, Trust, and Obedience. Thank you for joining us for another challenge from Elizabeth Elliot.
The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you today on the subject of God's will and ours. God tells us to do things, but He never tells us to do anything that He will not help us to do. Horace Bushnell wrote, "Nothing is necessary for you in maintaining a triumphant Christian life, but just to stay by the helm and put yourself in where the power is. Come to God. Unite yourself to God, and the doing power you have is infinite and is nonetheless yours because it is His. Trim your ship steadily to the course, and God's own gales will waft it." In other words, the sailor has got to sail the ship, but the sailor is not the one who makes the wind. And that helps me to see how my will is to work in harmony with God's. This is one of the things that I talk about so often, maybe to the point of boredom for some of you. You just get a little tired of hearing about this. And yet I think it's so important for us to see that the Christian life involves choices every single day of the world, and that God is there ready and waiting and willing to give us all the grace and all the strength and all that is necessary to do the job that God wants us to do. Are you handicapped? Are you helpless? Are you in prison? Are you limited in some radical way that makes you feel as though God has to do it all? The truth is, God has never allowed anything to happen to you which literally prevents your doing His will. It is always possible to do the will of God. Now, I do want to say that we're talking about an unfathomable mystery here, and yet the Bible gives us all the information that we need about it, God's will and ours. There's enough information in the Scriptures about His that we can be perfectly at rest in trusting Him absolutely for everything. And there's enough there about mine to know that I must work out my own salvation. My conscience is awakened and prompts me to do right. But let's read Philippians 2, 12, and 13. "Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to His good purpose." Do you see the mystery there? The two sides. We are to choose to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. But that's not where it stops. Verse 13 says, "It is God who works in you to will and to act according to His good purpose." Now, don't get too hung up thinking, now, is this my will doing this or is this God's will doing this? Is the thing that I want to do only my will, and is God's will contrary to that? We can get going round and round like a squirrel on a treadmill when we start asking too many questions about that. If we are honest about really wanting our whole lives to be in harmony with the life of God, then the daily choices and the perplexities God is going to help us with. And He's promised that. It puts the whole mystery in a nutshell, these two verses. Work out your own salvation. It is God who works in you. And Paul doesn't bother to explain that to the Philippians. He simply states it. A mystery is not something that it is explained, it is revealed. Now, for years and years, I've been keeping a file on what I call the sovereignty of God. the overarching control of my Heavenly Father over the whole universe. It is the doctrine that holds me. It is what has made me confident and steady and even peaceful in the midst of my worst experiences. But because it seems to be such a difficult thing for people to get hold of, and we go so easily to one extreme or the other, thinking either it's all up to God or it's all up to me, that I've been keeping this file and trying to put in bits and pieces from the Bible that bring these two concepts together again and again and again. Well, I've got dozens, maybe hundreds of them now, and I'm certainly not going to read you all of them, but I did bring along a sampling from my file on the sovereignty of God. It does make me edgy when I hear an extreme view of something called election or sovereignty and a cavalier repeating of the old saw, what is to be, will be, and ain't nothing I can do about it. So let me give you a sampling of what I found in the Bible. Not in my head, folks. Get that straight. In the Bible, God and man worked together, for example, on the mountain when Moses went up and God gave him the commandments. It says Moses made the stone tablets and God wrote the commandments on them. Moses had to make the tablets so God could write the commandments on them. Israel, we are told, had God to guide them and the ark to find them a place to rest and the pillar of cloud to go before them. But Moses also asked his brother-in-law, Hobab, to be our eyes to tell us where to camp. That's in Numbers 10, 31. So it was God who guided them by the pillar of fire, and that was a supernatural means of guidance. The ark was made by men, but made according to God's directions, and the ark was supposed to find them. It was both God and the ark who were going to find the place to rest. But Moses also asked his brother-in-law, Hobab, to be our eyes, to tell us where to camp. And Hobab was given supernatural wisdom. Now, the cooperation that you and I are expected to give to God, we are to seek the place that God chooses, Deuteronomy 12, 5. God will choose the place. I am to do the seeking. If you want to put down just these references, I think you would find it a very profitable study. I haven't given the reference for all of them, but Numbers 10, 31, Deuteronomy 12, 5, Joshua 10, 9. Joshua took them by surprise. The Lord threw them into confusion. Israel pursued them, and the Lord threw hailstones. That wonderful give and take. God does this, man does the other thing. Joshua took them by surprise, the Lord threw them into confusion, Israel pursued them, and the Lord threw hailstones. Judges 6, 36, in the story of Gideon, if you will save Israel by my hand, Gideon said. That's a little bit like the prayer that I pray about this program. Lord, you speak to these people through my words. And of course, I pray that God will give me his words. But how am I going to get his words? Well, I have to get myself in a position to study and to pray and to write notes. 1 Chronicles 19:13. Let us fight bravely. The Lord will do what is good in his sight. 1 Chronicles 10:4-14. Saul fell on his sword. The Lord put him to death. They defended. The Lord brought about the victory. 2 Chronicles 20:20. Hold firmly, and you will be upheld. Hold firmly, and you will be upheld. A good verse for all of us. Hold firmly to God's way, and God will hold us up. Underneath are the everlasting arms. 2 Kings 3:16. Make this valley full of ditches, God commanded. God promised that the water would fill them without its having rained. But the people had to dig the ditches. In the New Testament, we find that in almost every miracle that Jesus performed, he asks the cooperation of somebody. When he turned the water into wine, you remember that the servants had to fill the water pots with water first, and then he turned it into wine. Is it possible for us to thwart the will of God? Yes. Jesus wept over the city of Jerusalem, said, "How often would I have gathered you, but you would not." If we choose to refuse the mercy and the love of God, God respects our choice. The Pharisees frustrated God's purpose, we read in Luke 7. I think it's around verse 30. I'm not sure about that one. Because they refused John's baptism. So they frustrated God's purpose. In Acts 1, 23 to 26, we read, "They proposed, they prayed, and they cast lots. And they expected God to determine the result of the casting of lots." About Lydia in Acts 16, 14, "As she listened, the Lord opened her heart." Are you listening to my words today? I pray that God may open your heart.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Path of Loneliness, Finding Your Way Through the Wilderness to God. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.